Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then he gives this, I will say, footnote. This gospel of God is the one which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Not promised that there would be a gospel. But he gave that gospel.
Yes.
Now this gospel has been fully revealed
yes.
within and by the person who is the gospel, because then it continues, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, I've actually, through this series, come up this far, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to try to deal with verse 4 this morning. Listen to what Paul then writes, being moved by the Spirit of God. And, speaking still of Jesus Christ, this one who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh.
Yes.
Then Paul writes this about him. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
Now, I know we often stress this. Various preachers have and do, and pray God still will, but these words were chosen very carefully
yes.
by God.
Exactly.
By God. It is true for me to say that Paul did not choose these words.
Yes.
Though Paul willingly yes. chose to write these words.
Exactly.
God chose these words in their precise order. Now, before I get in my message in earnest, look at what it says, and I will point out a few things it does not say, so that maybe this will help give us a gauge as to what is actually being said. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Notice he did not write, he did not say, and declared to be the Son of God with or by power. But with power.
Yes,
it is true, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a powerful thing.
Yes, sir.
It is also true that the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of his being raised from the dead is a powerful thing.
Yes, sir.
Paul will go on to say, as we will, God willing, read a little later, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamite of God unto salvation.
Yes.
To everyone that believeth.
Yes, sir.
To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first. That's who it went to first.
Yep.
And also to the Greek. But it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared. Declared.
Mm-hmm.
Christ's resurrection. Because that's what it's saying. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Then read it. By the resurrection from the dead. It was according to the Spirit of holiness, but being declared to be the Son of God was by the resurrection from the dead. Do you see that wording? So it's by.
Yes.
By. By the resurrection of the dead. It was according to the Spirit of holiness, but by the resurrection from the dead. Why do I keep emphasizing this? Because very few people seen, understood, or perceived back then and even now the Spirit of holiness
yes.
that dwelt within our Lord Jesus Christ. I today still do not see it as it ought to be seen. So again, let me read the words. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the crescendo. But it was the beginning of the opening of the light.
Yes.
Of the truth of what he just accomplished when he suffered on Calvary's tree. He was raised from the dead on account of our salvation.
Yes.
On account of our salvation. He was not raised from the dead to save us. He had saved us before the foundation of the world. Because when God Almighty decrees something to come to pass, it is as well as done from God's point of view.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus Christ actually took away our sins when he suffered on Calvary's tree.
Amen.
We sing a song. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he what? Justified. But that's not quite true. Because he justified us when he died.
Amen.
When he died, he was raised for, that is, on account of our justification.
Yeah.
Used to have posters years ago, Jesse James, wanted for bank robbery. You ever see them on TV? They actually existed. Jesse James. Might have even had some kind of drawing of Jesse James on it. Wanted for bank robbery. Now, did that mean they wanted Jesse James to go rob some banks for them?
No.
Do you get the point of the word for now?
Yeah.
Wanted on account of bank robbery.
Yeah.
Wanted because he had committed bank robbery. He was raised on account of the fact that he had justified us by his blood. Now, I have much more to say on that later, but that's when we get to that passage. We'll deal with that. Listen to what Robert Halker wrote. Now, Robert Halker was an Anglican. He knows better now. He knows better now. I could not, in good conscience, associate with the rites and the rituals that the Anglican Church had back in his day, and especially with the things they do today. But if I knew a few Anglicans that were like Robert Halker, if I knew some today that were like Robert Halker, love would cover a multitude of sins.
Exactly.
Because Robert Halker stands out as an outstanding Anglican preacher. This is one of the things he wrote. And I'll give you this as a side note. I remember listening to a preacher. I have the messages somewhere in the things I have. And he began preaching through the Psalms. Then he got a hold of some of Robert Halker's writings on the Psalms. And he says, I was so embarrassed by what I did not see about Christ, I had to go all the way back to chapter 1 and start over again in teaching the church. Because God Almighty gave Robert Halker great insight from the Scriptures concerning the person and work of Christ. This is what Robert Halker wrote. Nothing but Christ. And his text is Acts 5:42, where it reads this, where Luke records, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Note, it does not say that they ceased not to teach and preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Though that certainly was a part of the message. But their message was the person who suffered on that tree, and the person who was buried, and the person who was raised again.
Yes, sir.
I will give you my conclusion as my introduction before I read this from Halker. The conclusion, let me find the right spot. Here's it. The question is not this. Do I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? That's not the question. Thousands have believed that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and have perished in hell. No, that's not the question. Do I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? The question is this. Do I believe the Christ who was raised from the dead? That's the question. Many believe in a resurrected Christ, but they don't know who the Christ really is. Or even more, reject who the Christ really is.
Yes.
Robert Halker writes then concerning Acts 5:42. The Lord Jesus was with them, both text and sermon. They found enough in Him for endless discourse. Enough in Him. In Him for endless discourse. Oh, that those glorious days would return when Christ and Christ alone, Jehovah's Christ and Jehovah's chosen, may fill every pulpit, occupy every house, warm every heart, and flow from every tongue in His churches and among His people. Lord, the Spirit, in mercy to Thy church, hasten the hour when the Redeemer shall arise out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Come, my beloved, saith the church, and be Thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Robert Hawker preached Jesus Christ, and that is indeed the message. Three things. Christ's resurrection declared Him to be the Son of God with power. That is, it proved Him to be. That's the simplest. Well, I'll give you a couple more things in a moment, but it declared Him to be the Son of God with power. It proved Him to be the Son of God with power. It announced clearly that Jesus of Nazareth, this one who was David's seed, according to the flesh, it announced clearly that He was both God and He had the power of God.
Yes, sir.
You see it? And declared to be the Son of God with power. Not by power, though the resurrection was a powerful thing. But He, personally, was declared to be the Son of God. God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
And the Jews understood that to be the meaning when He said, I and my Father are one.
Yes, sir.
He said, because you make God your Father, you blaspheme. You make yourself equal with God. They understood Him rightly. But they did not believe Him.
Exactly.
And declared to be the Son of God with power. It did not give Him power.
No.
He already had that power.
Amen.
He already had that power. But in the Hebrew, this word declared means to mark out, to appoint, or decree.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, it sounds very much like our word, and it is the Greek word from which we get one of our English words, horizon. Horizon. That is the boundary point. That's the boundary point. When you stand at the ocean and you look toward the horizon, it does not matter what's behind you.
That's right.
Whether it's flat fields, whether it's craggy rocks and cliffs, or whether it's the gigantic Rocky Mountains, when you look toward the ocean, you will see the earth's boundary point. Do you not? And it's almost unfathomable when you go out there. The first time I ever seen it, 14, 15 years old, Mason, I was just enthralled with that horizon out there. And it's just the horizon. But it is the horizon. And Jesus Christ was the horizon. The resurrection was the horizon.
Yes.
The place where the light begins to come up. The light's always been there.
Yes, sir.
The sun was just over the horizon a few moments ago. But as the earth turns, I know there's some that disagree with that, but it does. And as the earth turns, then that sun begins to come up where? On the horizon. And it declares, I am light. And if you don't believe that, go out on a cloudless day, go to the ocean, and when it begins to rise, stare right into it for about 10 minutes. It is so much light that it will blind you if you look at it too long. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, not given power. John 17, you know the passage. Our Lord prayed this prayer. And I want to read just the first few words of our Lord's Prayer. And this is, it's amazing that God gave us this prayer between the Father and the Son, between the prayer of the Son to the Father, because this is the Son pouring out His heart to the Father. As a matter of fact, many of the Psalms gives us our Lord's own feelings.
Yes, sir.
And when you read those Psalms, yes, those psalmists may be speaking of experiences they had in their life, but it is ultimately and truly fulfilled only in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at what Christ prayed. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, now remember, there's another man that prayed. He went home justified, but did he look up to heaven? What did he do? He looked down.
Yeah.
Smote on his breast. Wouldn't even so much lift his eyes up to heaven. But here's one who had the right because of the spirit of holiness. He had the right to do what, Jack Meadows? Lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed to the Father.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Lift his eyes to heaven. And said. All right, so we have recorded what he actually said. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Now, wait a minute. What is he talking about, the resurrection? That wasn't the next coming thing, was it? It was his sufferings.
Yes, sir.
His sufferings on the tree are the foundation of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
You could preach the resurrection and even the ascension of Christ, but if you miss the truth about what he did when he died on that tree, you got no gospel.
That's right.
Thousands believe Jesus was raised again and ascended and even sits at the right hand of God the Father, but he has no real power. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And that was according to the Spirit of Holiness. And think about this. His holiness went undetected, even unseen, for about 30 years.
Yes, sir.
Even in his humanity. His mother and father still didn't really get it. When they left him behind, what was he doing? Worrying about where mommy and daddy was? Worried about where the caravan went? No, he was in the temple. Speaking the truth of God.
Yes,
was he not? And they become all worried. Go back and find him there. And he said, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?
Right.
Glorify thy Son, he said, that thy Son also may glorify thee as thou hast given.
Amen.
Now, we could say it was given. But it's given because he earned it.
Yes, sir.
It was he even earned it as a man.
That's right.
He earned it as the seed of David according to the flesh. Even there, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. What does that mean, might or right? It means both.
Yes.
He has both the might, the strength, and the right.
Amen.
To do what? As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, in any true court of law, that anyone would honestly read that, they would say, Jesus Christ here was praying that God the Father, you gave me authority and power, ability over all flesh. And the main reason is to give eternal life to only some of that whole number. That's what he prayed.
Amen.
So that's what he was intending to do when he went to Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he did when he went to Calvary.
Amen.
Because he cried out on Calvary right before he gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost. Said, it is finished.
Amen.
But he'd said that one time before. And that's right here in this prayer. Look at it. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal.
Yes.
That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the work. I have finished. There it is. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he still have Calvary to go? Didn't he still have the resurrection to go? The ascension? The exaltation? Does he still not have the keeping of his people to go? Yes, he does, but he's talking here about his preceptive obedience. He had obeyed God perfectly all the way up to this point.
Amen.
And it's not long he's about to go into the garden and begin to experience the things that you and I better pray God we never experience. Because if we ever experience them, we'll experience them in hell.
That's right.
Or the lake of fire.
Yeah.
But he experienced that hell, but that metaphorically, he experienced that lake of fire in that, it started in that garden and it commenced in full on that tree when God the Father turned his back on the Son.
Yes, sir.
And even then, though, Paul Pendleton, he was allowed to say, it is finished. Mason, before he gave up that ghost. Why? Because he still, now think about this, though he was made sin, he still had the spirit of holiness. I can't explain that, wouldn't dare to explain that, but it's true. Just like Hebrews said, yet though he were a son, yet learned he. You hear? Yet learned he. How do you explain that? He don't explain it, he just states it. Now we love to get all theologically minded and use our big words and quit trying to explain it. Just declare it as it's given in this book. God will use His Word to convert the soul, not our explanations of His Word.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. If it's in this Word, it's big enough.
There you go. That's right.
It's big enough.
Amen.
Look at it. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou with me with Thy own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Again, I say, Jesus Christ is this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John records for us in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full. There's not room for one little drop more. Full of grace and truth. You want to find out about grace and truth? Search out this book concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. There you will see the true spirit of holiness. Though it was not recognized for 30 years, even by His immediate kin. His brothers and sisters didn't see. You would think the way most people talk about holiness, somebody said, that Jesus of Nazareth, He stands head and shoulders above everybody else. But nobody even really recognized and knew about Him until He was about 30 years old.
Right.
Wasn't it? About 30 years old. That amazes me. And I love, still remember what Tim James says. You know what Jesus Christ was doing for those 30 years when we barely have any record? Other than when his father took him, his father Joseph was supposed to be, took him and his mother down to, what was it, Egypt, wasn't it? You know what he's doing? All of that time, he was being perfect.
Amen.
And he said this, and nobody caught it.
That's right.
Nobody caught it.
Yeah.
Colossians 1, and I'm going to read it. But verses 16 and 17 says that Jesus Christ is God Almighty and He controls everything. He controls everything right now.
Yes.
Good or evil.
Yeah.
Sinful or righteous.
Yeah.
The breath that men have and the larynx that they have with which they use their tongues and curse God. God gives them that breath.
Yes.
And the heart and the mouth with which we cry out for mercy unto God. God gives us that breath. Jesus Christ is this, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Somebody says, prove to me that He was raised from the dead. It's proof right here in this book.
Yeah.
And that's all you get.
That's it.
And you'll believe this book or you'll perish.
Yeah.
Right.
Even our Lord Jesus Christ, remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? He withheld Himself from them physically. They couldn't recognize Him. They didn't do this on their own. He kept it from them.
Yeah.
But what did He do? He could have all of a sudden, Mason, just showed Himself to them and said, okay, here I am, look. And they didn't see Him.
Yeah.
He could have transfigured Himself just like He did to Peter, James, and John on the Mount. Could He not? But no, what did He do? He took them to what? The Scriptures.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I know most people don't understand this. If you're ever saved, if you're ever converted, God will show you what a corrupt, evil, wicked person you are. And He'll bring the message of hope by another corrupt, evil, wicked person. God hates human ego so much that God, as a major rule, He has before, but as a major rule, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Well, guess who's doing the preaching? Corrupt, evil, wicked men. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
Believe what? What? That evil, corrupt person. We've had people leave this assembly. We've had more leave this assembly than is left in this assembly because they didn't like a preacher from this assembly. And still profess to believe Christ but won't associate with them preachers.
Yeah.
Now, folks, I don't care what your profession is. You are dead wrong when you're like that.
Yeah, right.
You are a liar. I don't care. I mean, you've got sound reason not to like me, but you better love the gospel I'm preaching.
Exactly.
You better love the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm preaching.
Yes.
And Paul prayed this prayer. Turn to Ephesians if you're following along. I've got to hurry. Ephesians chapter 1. Now let me give this quickly. Christ was and will always be absolute holiness. That means sinlessness, yes, but it also means he's distinct, separate, and unique. There has never been and will never be anybody else like Jesus of Nazareth.
Exactly.
Never, even in glory. There is much glory in Christ's resurrection, but I want you to know that it's his death that saved us. It's his death that justified us. It's his death that put our sins away, not his resurrection. His resurrection is the testimony that he did what he came to do. Okay, let me give you, here's what Paul prayed. Verse 18 of Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, and we know the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It takes an act of God's mighty power for us to believe.
Amen.
It ain't up to us.
That's right.
It takes an act of God in mighty power. And what kind of power? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Christ's resurrection proves to me that God Almighty will raise his people from their spiritual deaths. Not just raise us bodily one day. He raises us from the spiritually dead now.
Amen.
Now. And what do those people do? Now look, Paul said, I don't cease to pray this ever since I heard, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Because of what he said in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and loved all the saints.
Amen.
Don't tell me you believe Jesus if you don't want to be with God's people. If you don't want to be with God's people. Now, I know some people are hindered, but let me also tell you, it's easy to even use hindrances as an excuse.
Yeah.